Who ha he?
Yo, tired.
What is this?
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Welcome, welcome. It's a pleasure being back. Welcome back to the chat reel with Billy and friends. We have a great, great guest, which I think you're going to love. He's actually the president of the Motown Alumni Association, and he's got a lot of history behind him. But before we get into that situation, I'd like to introduce my host, and we're going to start with my right hand, which is TJ. TJ, you want to say something?
Hello, hello, and welcome to the chat reel with Billy and friends on the Caribbean Radio Show. How are we doing out there?
Hey. All is good. All is good for all of our listeners. All of our listeners worldwide, we're just not getting started. So the next one I want to go to is Julie. Julie, you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I am.
I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be with you all.
Okay, great, great. Now I throw the ball over to my boy. We got L. Bracey. You there? Okay, he's not here yet. How about Robin? Okay, she's not in the studio. Okay. We're going to come up, we're going to actually take and work on, I'm going to read a little history here with Billy James Wilson. Billy James Wilson was born March 14th, 1957 in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He was born to BJ and Aunt Anita Motley. He had three siblings and is the oldest of the group. He is the last living member of his immediate family, with the exception of his mother, Anita. Wilson originally grew up in Detroit, Michigan, on a little-known street called Mayberry Grand, about a mile away from the former headquarters of Motown Records. Because of urban renewal, the family was forced to move to the small village of Willow Run by the age of 6 years old, where he lived down the street from Nick Ashford, who would eventually become the second half of Motown songwriting team, Ashford and Simpson. in around the corner of gospel great Marvin Miller, amongst other Wilsons. Parents broke up and went their separate way by the time the move occurred. And when times got bad for his mother and she couldn't properly take care of her four children, she and his siblings had to move with his father, who had moved to the Ypsilanti, Michigan, a few miles from Willow Run. With his father, Wilson lived a moderately middle-class life with his siblings and stepsister, Chiquita Main, and Claudine Motley, his stepmother, and his stepmother, who he fell in love with immediately, was a living, walking black male in role. As far as he had and his brother Bobby were concerned, said Wilson, "My last name is Wilson because my parents were not married when I was born," said Wilson. They passed me off with the last name of Motley because nobody ever questioned the validity of my name in Detroit until we went to Willow Run, Michigan, and officially asked for my birth certificate, which had my original name on it. When my other siblings were born, my parents realized the flaw in the system and named all other children Motley as their last name. My parents were not married for any of my siblings except for 1 year when my last brother, Barry Motley, was born. He's the only child that was born with the official last name of Motley. But all the rest of the children, Bobby and Grace, had illegal last names of Motley on their birth certificate. Wilson's career started in Second Baptist Church in Ypsilanti, Michigan, along with a bunch of family members, what all went to the same church. His father forced Wilson to be a singer in church, and he sucked really bad. Eventually, as time went on, he learned to sing well, got with his friend Tony Walker, and after a series of mishaps and embarrassment, moments learned to play the bass guitar and co-founded the band True Blood. Eventually quit that band and to co-found Dimensions of Soul with Michael Lewis. They traveled the Chitlin' Circus for a few months, and a few years later reestablished a new group called Imagination. We eventually toured the United States on the Armed Air Force Entertainment Tours, supported by a government similar to the USO tours. Groups on those tours were acts such as Roger and the Human Body, a.k.a. the Zap Band, Sid Wilson. Our lead singer was Minnie Curry, who also went on to have a minor fame singing with Teddy Pendergrass. In 1977, he joined a local Ann Arbor group called Bigfoot and went on to have a moderate local success. And that group was a renowned drummer, music producer that went on to produce the first five albums for Madonna. Stephen Bray and Wilson went on to co-write the history song, Big Apple Rappin'. One of the first rap songs to come out of Detroit under the Detroit record label. And the debut song of future rappers and I can't really pronounce that name, but produced by Spider D. Spider is also one of the first rappers to have his own independent record label in 1980. Wilson went on to tour with Ray Valentine, New York experience, who was a bandmate with European sensation Martine Girard. He's been on stage with, traveled with, Open Up For, and performed with numerous artists and groups throughout the 50 years, such as Van Halen, warm up acts with Bigfoot Band, Martha Reeves and Vandella, bass player Junior Walker and All Stars, music director, manager Billy Sticks, Nick's leader, Gladys Knight warm up act, Foundation of Funk, Condors, bass player, Mary Johnson, bass player, Theonis Monk, Benny Goodman, Mercer, Ellington Buddy, Rich, of course, And then AKA Billy BB King sat in for missing bass players. David Ruffin sat in various solo act gigs. Mary Wilson managed for the girl group Stamp Ceremony and R&R Hall of Fame and various other projects. Motor City Hit Records executive worked with the Four Tops, the Dramatics, the Contours, Laura Lee, the original Vandellas, Frida Payne, Sherry Payne, various projects. Michael Powell, Keith Washington, Gino Washington, L.G. Reynolds of the Dramatics, and Pat Lewis, Martha Reeves, personal assistant Kim Wesson, personal assistants Morris Day and the Times Warm-Up Acts, Foundation of Funk Band, Johnny Briscoe, assistant, Spider Turner, various projects, Spider D, co-wrote Big Apple Rapping, Misty Love of Kid Rock of fame, business partner for the Detroit Black Music Awards for 15 years in a variety of other projects. Stephen Bray, drummer, Madonna producer, played Bigfoot Band for 3 years. Minnie Curry Band mate with the USO touring group, Imagination, and the list goes on and on. Wilson and the Motown Alumni Association participated in groundbreaking lawsuits with FBT Eminem's former publishing company and Aftermath Records Universal Music Group. And one, he sat on the super panel for the Grammy program called Grammys in the School at Michigan State University. He gave a $10,000 R&S grant to the HBCU institutions, Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, under the direction of Dr. Gregory McPherson. He participated in the First Lady Summit, sponsored by Laura Bush, wife of former President George Bush, was asked to participate, acquiring artifacts for the LBJ Memorial Library in Texas. Currently, Wilson is the founder and manager of the Motown Alumni Association that launched in 1995 and incorporated in 2003, and currently has over 35 branches globally and 11,000 associate members, both private and publicly. And Motown Alumni Association.com. He is also the founder of Billy Wilson Entertainment Group, who promoted all genres of music globally. Billy Wilson's Entertainment Group.com and started a program called Motown in the School that takes an additional record companies and place it in the schools to teach children about the real business of music by promoting their songs globally, locally, and regionally. In essence, turning children into rock stars in their own communities. The carrot on the string is children must have a B grade point average. Wilson's currently promoting the Motown in the School program nationwide and promoting music in general on the global level through the organization Billy Wilson Entertainment Group at http://BillyWilsonEntertainmentGroup.com. So that is the history. I'm sorry, a little, you know, tongue-tied a little bit, but we have Billy here, I assume. Is Billy here now?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, Mr. CEO, Mr. Motown alumni? What a great bio, my friend. What a great bio. And we welcome you wholeheartedly with all of our guests. So I'm going to take and introduce you to them. I don't know if you were backstage listening or back in the office listening.
Yes,
to the host. Okay, so I don't know whether Robin is here yet. So she'll pop up if she's not here. How about El Bracy? Okay,
no,
all right. We'll go on. They'll chime in. Okay, they'll chime in.
The good doctor
so,
is here, though. Dr. Denise Gutatis. She's one of our co-hosts.
Yeah, thank you, TJ.
That was the next one. I was getting ready to get to you.
Hey, I'm here, too.
So, yes, TJ Jackson, Denise Gutatis, Julie Sabovida, and we have Robin Jones, if you come. And, of course, we'll have Al Bracey. Al Bracey will be chiming in soon enough. So we want to start first and foremost. We're going to go to a commercial break first, and then we'll take and get into the interview, okay? So
all
sit
right.
back, hold tight, PJ. Take us there.
You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, The Chat Reel with Billy and Friends. This week's guest, Motown Alumni Association President and Motor City Records CEO, Mr. Billy Wilson. Coming up, we got Stand Up, Funkin' for Jamaica, and My Girl. Stay tuned.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
We are back. We are back. You are listening to
the Caribbean Radio, the Knowledge Station, with Billy and friends on the chat reel. In case you are just tuning in, we have Billy Wilson here from the Motown alumni that's going to actually tell a story. It's an amazing story that he has to tell, and we're just trying to catch up on things. So, Billy, thank you once again for coming on. We love having you here. We were all excited about this. I mean, we've had some remarkable shows. So I think that our friend L is in the studio, and we'll get started. L, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. How everybody doing? So good to be with the family on another Monday night.
All right. All
really
right. We're
too.
Ready to party.
Big L.
Yeah. All right. So, Billy, I know that I read over your bio, and I see that basically beginning your start basically in Ypsilanti and then going into into Detroit. I know you come from a faith-based format, being in a gospel situation as a younger child coming up. So let's go through that experience so people kind of understand where this all came from, because you worked with a lot of different people. And, you know, as I was going through this, and I didn't realize it's many years that I've known you that you had did a lot of this stuff. So let's go ahead and let's get into that. Let's start from the beginning and just let's flow from there.
Well, okay. I, as I told you, as you were saying, I was born in Ann Arbor. I didn't really live in Ann Arbor. We lived in Detroit. So though I was born at St. Joe's Hospital in Ann Arbor, we went to Detroit. And that's where I lived for about 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And my father was a local singer. You know, he knew all of the people, all of the cats. He performed with all of the people that we know today. But after urban renewal, they made us move because they ended up making an expressway out of our street, which is the service drive of 96. Between the cross, you know, between 94 and 96 is the service drive, and it's called Mayberry Grand.
Okay.
So once we moved to Ypsilanti, my father, who was he always wanted to be a big star. He always wanted to travel the world. He wanted to do the same thing that I end up doing. But he was never really able to do that because, one, he was illiterate. So he couldn't even read the contracts. He had to have my mother to read the contracts for him. And secondly, you know, his ambition wasn't as great as mine. But we ended up going to a church, Second Baptist Church in Ypsilanti, and that's where I got my start from. I wasn't a good singer at all. And, but you know how it is when you're, if you're in a black church, you know, every grandma in the church will go, sing, baby. That means yourself.
Right.
You know, that's how I took it. Every time the old people say, sing, baby, that means you suck, but at least you got enough guts to get up there. And I did get up there. And what really inspired me was when I was standing there, you know, I was in the choir like everybody else. I had this little cute little girl that I like. She's my girlfriend. And what I got up there and I started to sing, and the old people were saying, baby. I kept thinking, man, they don't like not singing. But what ticked me off was I heard my girlfriend laughing at me in the background.
Oh, wow.
Well, and boy, did that bother me. See, it didn't bother me that the old people were asking me to sing. It bothered me my girlfriend was laughing at me. So I went back and I sat next to her and I fired her the next day. And
right.
I ended up working really hard to learn how to sing well, just to show her out. Now, little did I know, I would probably hardly ever see her again throughout adulthood until I graduated. I ended up taking her to my graduation. But beyond that, I hardly ever seen her again.
Okay.
But that inspired me to want to sing, just out of revenge. Just, you know, I was mad for years too, and it wasn't just a momentary mad. But I ended up playing with my friends, and I was lead singer in my band, and my father bought me a bass guitar, and I took it over to my band, and the bass player that we had at the time, he was playing a four-string guitar as bass. Well,
wow.
I come in, I was the only one that had a bass, you know. I couldn't play it, but at least I had one.
Right.
And the bass player, he took that bass and he played with it between his legs and behind his head and, you know, done all the fancy tricks that people did with guitars. It was highly embarrassing. So I took that bass home and I learned how to play one good song. It took me about 3 weeks to learn how to play that bass. But I played that one good, something that I learned while playing it. The three-bar blues chords, you can play those three bars and play at least 1,000 songs off of those three bars. So
okay.
I end up, and my friend's grandma, she liked the blues, so we played the blues all the time, and I played those three bars for a couple of years, you know. And eventually I got good enough that I felt that I can, you know, expand my experiences, because then we liked Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I was jumping around and acting a fool and singing and playing bass like Earth, Wind, and Fire. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't Verdeen White's brother. And once I left that group, and I joined there's a group in our town that all of us musicians wanted to be a part of. And they had auditions for a bass player. Well, see, I was the only bass player that could sing, play, and dance. I could do routines. Because I was, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Verdeen White, he was running around on stage and he could do routines too. Well, I was the only one in my area that could do all of that. So that made me exceptionally talented. And they hired me into the group, this newly formed group. And that's how I got that's how I started my professional career.
Well, you touched on something when you touched on Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's got to be one of my top 10. I would say number one group for me is, you know, when I was coming up, that was the group, and it still is to this day. So you touched on something. So let's go ahead and continue with this, and we want to get to where we are basically entering into all these different acts that you had an opportunity to be around. So go ahead.
Well, with that group, at that time it was called the Dimensions of Soul. All of the cats that I used to pay $6 to see, I'd be way in the back of the room, but at least I'd pay my $6 to see these groups that could fill up a 1,200-seat arena. I thought that was like major concert stuff, and I always wished that I could be just like them. And there was this cat up there. His name was Lee Osler. Now, he was like the Jackie Wilson of my neighborhood, you know. He was a showman. All the girls would run up to the stage and grab him on his leg, and he'd be trying to kick them off. And I kept thinking, one of these days, I'm going to have women do that to me. And right. So when I joined this band, this Dimensions of Soul band, I ended up playing with that guy. I ended up playing for him. So, you know, that was like my life dream. I could have died and went to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So him and I became very close friends. So I got to tell, he got to asking me about how I got started, because he thought what I did was unusual, you know. And I told him, well, he helped inspire me, you know, into rock starism by you know, I used to see all the girls grabbing his leg, and I wanted the women to grab my leg like that.
Right.
He looked at me and he said, "Billy, did you take a good look at who those women were?" I said, "No. That was my sister, my mother, my aunt. They were all in the front row." And I said, "But you were kicking them off." He said, "I was trying to kick him in their face and have them sit down because I was embarrassed."
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, oh, man, that was the first time I realized that what you see might not actually be what reality is.
Amen.
And I found that out later when the Beatles said that, you know, all the girls that used to scream and holler, they hired
mm-hmm.
those girls. I mean, front seats. They made sure they had all of the front seats. They made sure
uh-huh.
that the girls went into the stage and screamed and hollered. And that's how people, when you see the rush of the stage and you see girls screaming and hollering, he said, that was all fake.
Yeah,
he said.
Well, I remember that in a lot of incidents, you know. I mean, people didn't really grasp onto that back in the 60s and stuff like that. And I think still today, a lot of people still don't know that they set up the plants, you know, to actually be there in the front row so they can kind of motivate everybody to be a part
it
of
does.
What, you know, what is actually probably not as great, but it really is in a sense. But the reaction might be different, you know, if that not have happened. So,
I learned throughout the entertainment business, it's like that consistently.
Right.
Fantasia said it recently that, she was doing an interview, and the interviewer said, well, you know, people like you, they got all that money. She stopped her in the middle of the sentence. She said, wait a minute, baby. First of all, most of us don't have all that money. She said, we know how to dress up. We know how to get on stage. We know how to entertain you. She said, most of us are broke as a joke. And she said, I was literally homeless twice during my fame. During the time that people thought that I was famous, she said, I was broke and homeless twice. She said, it's just now that she's starting to realize how to budget money. And that's because she got her man. Her man happens to have a good job. But he's showing her how to budget her money well. Most of us entertainers are like that.
Yeah.
And most of us can tell that same sad sob story, too. Mm-hmm. I certainly can.
Because you guys are you're not business people. Well, some are, but I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying, you know, you operate out of the left side of your brain. It's a whole different ball game out of the right side of your brain, basically. That's what they say. Right, Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Everybody has a dream. And with that dream, you know, you turn it into a goal. And from the goal, you turn it into a career. That's how the process goes. And, you know, I don't trust people that haven't gone through any crap in life.
Right.
I can trust in people that have gone through crap, and all I got to do is ask them what crap have they gone through. I can tell you what you're all about just based on the crap you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's a tough road.
And it's a tough road, all man. Of us are immune to it after we become adults. I mean, all of us are not immune to it after we become adults. We must go through crap for us to even learn anything. You can't even give advice if you haven't learned through your crap.
Right.
You know, and that's the process that I went through throughout the entire music industry.
Okay. Well, let's do this, Billy. Let's take a quick break, commercial break. And then we'll be back. Let's hold that thought. And people that are listening in all over the world, hang in there because we got more to come with Billy Wilson. And we'll be back. TJ, take us out.
Listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, Billy and Friends, The Chat Rio. This week's guest, Mr. Billy Wilson, president of the Motown Alumni Association and owner of Motor City Hits Record Company. We'll be right back with The Temptations, The Way You Do the Things You Do.
All right.
Shalom and hello. This is Dr. Denise Beltadis. I am a metaphysician and a licensed psychotherapist and a natural medicine doctor. I am also the host of the Black Jewish Queen live chat and also one of the hosts of the Chat Reel with Billy and Friends. If you are enjoying these programs, please support our cause to keep our programs on the air so that we can continue covering topics that matter to you. You can send your donation in any amount to paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. That is paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. We look forward to your support. Thank you so much for listening to our program.
You know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so with her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish it would rain. Gotta cry, 'cause crying is the pain. Oh yeah, people just hurt. I feel inside, words could never explain. I just wish it would rain. Oh, let it rain, 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 rain. And no one will ever know that I'm crying, crying when I go outside. To the world outside my tears, I refuse to explain. Oh, I wish it would rain. Let it rain, let it rain. I need a rain to stab the tears in my eyes.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
We are back. We are back. And in case you're just tuning in around the world, we do have Billy Wilson from the Motown alumni, and he has got a heck of a story, and we're digging into it right now in terms of his, where he came up from and where he's at now and what he's been doing throughout the years. So, Billy, let's go back into the story, and then we'll have a chance to actually get some of our guests in to be able to ask different questions, and then after that, we will open the lines up in the second hour. So let's go ahead and continue.
Okay. So the group that I was with, the Dimensions of Soul, we ended up doing the Chitlin Circuit. Now, that was in the 70s. That was in about 77, I believe, 76, maybe 76. And we went down south and we went through all the toils and troubles of being Northerners going down south. You know, we thought we had right, and the Southerners were not trying to feel that. And
exactly.
But the interesting part is that was our first tour. That was the first time that any of us had ever gone on a tour. And how that happened was I was working for a hotel in the kitchen, and I met this guy, this white guy. His name was Dan Ritnick. He was a drummer. So we got to talk, and he came over to my house. You know, I thought I'd jam with him, have a good time. Well, come to find out, this guy was a fabulous drummer. He wasn't just any old drummer. And so while I was rehearsing, my band happened to pop up And they were shocked to see this white guy with this zebra skin drum on the stage, I mean, on the in the rehearsal room. So, you know, they were like, oh, can we jam with you? Yeah, come on, everybody, come jam. And, of course, our drummer, you know, he had to sit out because, you know, the white guy was a drummer. And the guy rocked that room, and he done it so well that the following day, the majority of the band got together and said, hey, why don't we get rid of who we got and get him? Now, at first, I was like, no, we don't betray our brothers like that. Well, just so happened, this guy happened to have known how to get on the chitlin circuit, this white guy. Oh,
okay.
That kind of thing, that changed everything.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, we got a chance to actually tour, to go on a tour. And sure enough, that's what happened. And once we went on the tour, there were many incidences that happened, but one of the funniest incidences, we had outfits and we had jumpers. We had lavender jumpers, but we had these white hoods, kind of looked like Ku Klux Klan. But
right.
It was a cape. It was a white cape, had pointed top on it. And so our routine was we'd have smoke and bombs and things going off in the club. Everything was dark. And when we walk out on stage, we'd be hooded. You know, nobody can see us. We were like the Grim Reaper coming out. Nobody could see our face. And we had white gloves on. But the drummer had to start the show. So this white guy in zebra with a black and white zebra skin drums, he come out there with the hood on, and he get on the drums, and he take the hood off, and he start playing drums. Then all we heard was tape glass breaking, tables being pushed over, and guns being cocked. So didn't know what the hell was happening, you know, because we had not gotten out there yet. So we let him play for a little while, and we heard the commotion. We thought, uh-oh, these people, they're excited about what we're bringing. Of course, we're from the north. We don't realize that was like wearing your colors in a game, you know. Just happened to be the worst colors you could possibly wear and the worst outfits you could possibly wear. So we come out and we had our white gloves on with our hoods over it, walking out on the stage, and this 10-piece group standing on stage, and nobody knew we were black.
It got worse.
That's when the owner came out with a shotgun, and we heard him cocking the shotgun. We thought we didn't even realize it was a gun. We just thought they were just excited.
Well,
so
I knew that was gonna go left.
We pulled off our hoods and we seen all of these guns pointing at, including the owner's shotgun. In fact, the owner was up front with his shotgun. And then the black people were like, nothing was funny. And we looked around like, what? What we do? Well, needless to say, we didn't get paid for that gig. And that was an experience that we obviously, while we were in the South in particular, got rid of those hoods quickly. And
I seen that going left. I really did. At the beginning of the story, when you said you had the hoods and stuff and it was white, I seen that going left.
Yeah. We knew that was going to go south. And so these are the kind of experiences that happened throughout the years. But the wonderful portion of it was we were in New Orleans and our band was playing at this place, a club called the Mardi Gras. And this group of jazz guys come in. Now, we play Earth, Wind, and Fire and R&B music and that type of stuff. But the jazz guys came in. They were kind of getting drunk and having a good time. And they liked what we were doing, but they wanted to play their music, too. So they asked if whether they could play. We were like, yeah, here, set your stuff up next to ours. And, you know, you can play in between sets. And apparently the bass player didn't show up. So the guys asked me whether I knew how to read music. I said, yes. He said, do you play jazz? I said, yes. He said, do you mind if will you play with us for our set? And so my band was like, no, you can't use our bass player because you might like him or something. You know, they were joking at first, but then eventually they were real serious. So I was like, no, look, I do what I want to do. So I sat next to the keyboard. He said, look, the keyboard player said, I'll just throw you the chords and you just improvise. Shit, that's what I do best. And I only knew the keyboard player. Now look, I wasn't a jazz player. I didn't know jazz people, but I knew how to play jazz by that time. So I sat next to the keyboard player. I said, "What's your name?" He said, He said, call me Monk. I was like, okay, Monk. So who are those guys? He said, the guy on drums, that's Buddy. The guy on clarinet, that's Benny. And Ellington over there, he just play whatever he wants to play. So lo and behold, the keyboard player who was throwing me the chords was Thelonious Monk.
Oh, okay.
Buddy Rich was on drums.
Oh,
Benny Goodman was on clarinet. And Mercer Ellington, Duke Ellington's son, he actually played trumpet. A lot of people don't know that he played trumpet. And I sat there with them. You could hardly tell that I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I played their entire set. Then I got up and played with my band. Then I went from my band back to their set. They liked it so much that they wanted to do a third set. So we're back to my band, and I sat back down with them and finished out them about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And we jammed for long periods of time.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about the history, and we're going to get into the Motown alumni and how that came about. And we'll be right back with TJ. Are you there?
I am here. You're listening to the Chat Reel. Billy and Friends on the Caribbean Radio Network. This week's guest, Mr. Billy Wilson, founder and president of the Motown Alumni Association and owner of... I lost my notes. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
We'll be right back right after this.
Okay.
Oh, wasn't very pretty. See, I was born and raised in the slums of the city. It was a one-room shack that slept in another chair beside me. We hardly had enough food or room to sleep. It was hard time. Needed something to eat my trouble, man. My father didn't know the meaning of work. He disrespected mama and treated us like dirt. I left home picking a job that I never did find. Depressed and downhearted, I took the cloud. I'm doing fine up here on cloud nine. Listen, one more time, I'm doing fine up here on cloud nine. Folks down there tell me, they say give yourself a chance, son, don't let life pass you by. But the world of reality of a rat race, where only the strong is survive. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and that ain't no lie.
Ain't no lie.
It ain't even safe no more. So walk the streets at night.
I'm doing fine on cloud nine.
Let me tell you about cloud
nine.
You can be what you want to be.
Cloud nine.
You ain't got no responsibility.
And I'm a man, every man is free.
Cloud nine.
You're a million miles from reality.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin. Introducing Caribbean.
And we're back. A little difficulty in the background in the studio, but we're going to get that taken care of. You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and the chat reel with Billy and friends. And we're worldwide, folks, and I hope that people that are listening are enjoying this like we are. And we're opening up the lines at this point in time for people to ask questions as we continue the interview. So first and foremost, we're going to go back to Billy Wilson from the Motown Alumni. Billy, we're back, and I think we need to get into how this came about as far as the Motown Alumni situation. And you work with, like, Martha Reeves. I've actually opened up on Martha Reeves back in, I think it was, let me think here, was 87 at the Bonnybrook.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Going back a little ways. Yeah. So, yeah, you got a great resume in terms of them. And there was some more on the bio that I've seen that needs to be mentioned of people that you actually open up for and work with. And then we'll get into the Motown alumni and what that stands for and what it does for the community.
Well, we are the Motown Alumni is an organization that originally I started it with Martha Reeves to so that she could have so she could see her comrades, you know, at particular times because they all work so much they don't get a chance to see each other, they don't gig together a lot,
right?
So I was working at a community program with her for one of her community programs. I was one of the directors. And she came home from Melvin Franklin's funeral, the bass singer for the Temptations. And mm-hmm. she was really sad about the fact that she only gets a chance to see her friends every now and then. So I was thinking, well, why don't you start an alumni association that can get all your friends together? She looked at me and she said, where you come up with that cockamamie idea? I said, well, white people do it. Heck, black people do it too. They do it in colleges and those type, you know, schools. Y'all can do that. She said, well, if you want an alumni association, you start one. And lo and behold, I started one. Now, I didn't know the turmoils and the tribulations that would come along with such a thing. Because, you know, black people don't trust black people that much. We have a hard time trusting each other. And sure enough, all of that, those trust issues, they occurred throughout my tenure as president of this organization. The Motown alumni themselves, they thought I was just trying to make money off of them, like other people have tried to do. I didn't know that at one point in time, there was this guy, I can't remember his name now, but he started a Motown Alumni Association previous to me. And so I was wondering how come, you know, I had never heard of it. Not that I was in the circle that would have heard of it, but I'd never heard of it. So I hunted this guy down, and I told him what I was doing. He said, yeah, I tried that before. He said, them ignorant people will not. I'm a songwriter for Motown. They did not want me involved in their stuff whatsoever. They would not join. They would not. He said, thing that I could do to help you, I'll be more than happy to do. But as far as I'm concerned, those people can go to H. I was like, whoa, okay. I said, well, I'm going to continue this. I'm going to see what happens. And so I started the organization. It was just an internet organization at the time. It actually still is basically an internet organization. But at the time, it was the early years of internet, 1995. So as I was putting this up, I didn't think Martha Reed was going to help support me whatsoever. You know, she thought it was a cockamamie idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, in the early years of the internet, people were just getting on, just getting familiar with things. You know, they weren't really connected into any one particular thing. I started my little thing, and all of a sudden, all these people from Europe started connecting into me. They want to know who I am and was I ever with Motown, et cetera, et cetera. And come to find out, Martha Reeves, she had a gig overseas, and she was talking about the Motown Alumni Association that I started in Detroit. And those people wanted to join my organization. So slowly, you know, I think I had about 100 people that just suddenly popped up out of the blue. They all were foreigners. And I just continued it. And it grew and grew and grew. Eventually, one of Barry Gordy's executives ended up being one of my head directors, Ruth Robinson. She was Susan DePass's executive, co-executive for her company. Susan DePass, she was the VP of Motown, and you know she'd been with Barry Gordy for quite some time. And so Ruth, she started joining me. And so what she would do is she would go back to Barry and them during their meetings and talk about this Motown Alumni Association. Well, at the time, Barry was going, who? Billy, who? No, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, when people ask. And he eventually got to the point to put Billy Wilson. Oh, I've heard of him. And then it was Billy Wilson. Yes, I know of him. Got to the point to where his daughter, Cherry Gordy, which is one of his favorite kids, I started supporting her event. She had an event in Las Vegas, and I supported her. And then she went back and told me. So now it's Billy Wilson. Yes, I know Billy. Yeah, well, we never really sat and talked. But he does know of me quite well. And since 95, I've been around since 95, well over 20 years, so. This has become a phenomenal organization. It's grown pretty much on its own throughout all the time. The primary purpose is just to find events and functions and things that we could do where I can socialize with the artists.
Yeah, and that's really cool because I really like the situation as we have been friends for some time. But we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have open lines and also the host to be able to ask some questions. Would that be good, Billy?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be right back. TJ?
You're listening to
my baby.
You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show on the Caribbean Radio Network, the Knowledge Station, with the Chat Reel and Billy and Friends. This week's guest, Mr. Billy Wilson, founder and president of the Motown Alumni Association, Motor City Hits Record Company, and the Billy Wilson Entertainment Group. Right now, our host, Billy Jack.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I apologize for the situation here with some issues with our board, but we're back. So I like to have the lines open. And first and foremost, really, I want to go over to L. Bracey because he's been quiet all night. So I got to wake him up. You over there sleeping, L?
Oh, no, L? Man. How you doing? You know, it's so funny, especially how Billy told me how the old ladies had him singing.
Billy
was about to sing, and then his girlfriend you know told him to start laughing and embarrassing. That was really funny, Billy. I'm not laughing at the misery. I was just enjoying the show, man. But I'm so proud that you're here, man. You've been a mentor to me. And, man, I'm just excited, man, that, you know, that we had this conversation. To have you on the Caribbean Radio Show tonight means a lot to me. And
hey, I'll tell you this. What was funny for me, L, and I'll let you get back. But what was funny for me was the clothes with the hood, the tour clothes going down south with the hood and stuff, all white. So yeah. I knew that was not gonna go well. You know what I'm saying?
So
anything you want to ask, Billy?
Yeah, I do, man. Some things I do want to ask, Billy. Out of being the president of the Motown alumni, do you get support from any of the artists other than Moth Reeves? Do you get support from all the other artists? Okay, I'm not on mute, y'all. Somebody hear me.
Billy?
Where Billy at, man? Where you at?
Did he drop?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm here.
Oh,
there you go.
Did you hear that question?
Welcome back, Mr. Billy Wilson.
Yeah. All right. I did hear that question. And yes, I do get support from all of the artists. And it's kind of funny because obviously where I left off at, of course, none of the artists really supported me well. The one that did was Gladys Horton of Marvelettes. She's the very first one that allowed me to use her name as support for the organization. And of course, I wore that name out for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I have gotten tremendous support, tremendous recognition, and many of the people have hired me for various things. Mary Wilson, she hired me for the girl group stamp event she had at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was the manager, you know, for that event. Just numerous things throughout the time. So I was with Martha Reeves, like I was telling you. And, you know, I've done a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Kim Weston, I work for her.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Kim has got a lot of notoriety out of Detroit. Great, great singer. And the roster that you have with all the artists is just amazing. And I'm glad to be a part of it. As well. You know, I have a history myself, music-wise, as you know. And,
right.
You know, I like to, you know, see it, you know, grow more and more because I think it's very important that people realize, you know, the history behind all this. And a lot of people do, you know, but I'm just saying as a whole, you know, we don't want to lose a situation because, you know, the industry's changing up a lot. So we're going to have new artists coming out that's going to be more groundbreaking. Well, I won't say more groundbreaking, but will be groundbreaking, you know, artists is coming. And maybe it may not be filtered through Motown. Who knows? You know, it might be filtered through your organization. So I'm going to swing the ball around. I'll throw the ball around. Denise, you got anything you want to ask?
Oh, well, like Al said, you know, I'm enjoying listening to the program. And, you know, I'm just soaking it in. I mean, this is a really great program. Billy Wilson, I'm glad, you know, you came on today. To me, this is taking part, like, in a part of history. I mean, I'm really humbled in a whole lot of ways to even be in the same studio as you, Billy Wilson. So I, you know, I'm just listening, taking in, and, you know, just enjoying how things were different, you know, back then. But then again, it, you know, it seemed like it was so different back then we're in the hood. How different it was, but it's like we're going in reverse now in the time we live in. But I'm just enjoying your story.
Well, yeah, you've got a great story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. Any other host?
Address her issue, something she said.
Okay.
I started Bill Wilson Entertainment Group to help these young people and old people to maneuver the entertainment business today. Oddly enough, they're not going backward. They are moving forward. They're just moving forward in a different manner.
Okay,
a lot of these
yeah.
young people and the older people, they really don't know what to do, how to make money. They really don't know how to make money in the music business. They think that if you put your music out there, the world is going to look at it, and eventually you might make some money. Well, I was in a lawsuit with Eminem. 2010, we won the lawsuit, but this was a groundbreaking lawsuit I was in. I was the only black man. Only thing black was the helper dog from the blind man that was in the room. But I sent a brief. The judge, and that brief was so, we thought it was so fabulous that the judge used the brief making his decision about Eminem's case. Now, basically, Eminem was griping about the fact that he felt that in today's times everything is digital and streaming. So the royalties need to change from 18% to 50%. And, the record companies, obviously, they didn't agree with that. And originally, he lost in the lower case. He had to pay $2.5 million. But when he got me and we came up with this fabulous brief, the judge seen the brief. And my philosophy was make the brief as simple as an eighth grader could read it. Of course, the lawyers didn't believe me, but since it was my brief, they better do what I tell them to do. And
right.
I have one more. I'm sorry. After you answer, I just had one more question because I think I should have elaborated more. I mean in the way, you know, when you were explaining how they came out with the white sheets, you know, as far as the racism back then with the entertainers. I meant it in that context, but at the same time, what I mean is it's like going back to those days, because I remember Billy, we had another guest on the show, and they were talking about how it was a little racism and how they were cheating the artists from, you know, making less money because of the skin color than the other artists. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. But, you know, at first, you know, it seemed to get better and then it don't.
Let me address that issue, too. Back in the day, artists only made 2% in their contract. It's 2%.
That's right.
All artists only made 2%. Now, if you were a big artist like Elvis Presley, you made 4%.
Yeah.
Eventually, I remember B.B. King talking about it. B.B. King said, man, I was making 2% for decades. And then when I made 4%, I was a star. Nobody made more than. Most people made 2%. And keep in mind that records were 99 cents, $1.29 at the very most.
Mm-hmm.
So 2% that, you know, you only make 2% records. And even if you sold 500,000 records, you know, what you get about $500 or something like that.
It's crazy.
Wow.
So, you know, the artists complain about it. In later years, they complained about it. When the economy had gone up, even the royalty status had gone up to like 10%. You know, you can get 10%.
Okay.
But reality is, nobody got paid much at all.
Right. Right.
Wow.
At all. Nobody, white people, black people, no matter who they were, they got paid that good, sneaky amount of money. If you knew how it, and being black in the business, that made it even worse.
Right.
Barry Gordy,
he didn't screw
nobody. He used the standard contract that white people use.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that? Because I got a copy of the contract. It was standard, like everybody else's contract. So at the time, if you remember, that we were just doing 45s and albums. No,
right.
Nobody was making no money. So eventually, the 8-track came in. Eventually, cassettes came in. Oh, that was a decade later. Eventually, CDs developed. You know, as time had gone on, most of the artists never went to the record label and renegotiated their agreement. So they kept that 2% agreement for most of their career. When they could have gone and renegotiated the contract, and they could have stopped the contract, because they could have stopped Motown from even using their music if they didn't negotiate the contract properly.
Yeah,
they could have done.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Billy, can you let the guests know how they can get in contact with you, and kind of give them a brief idea of what we're doing here with the Motown alumni, and you know, how they can get involved?
Well, there are multiple ways of doing it. Just go on Facebook, go to search, type in Motown Alumni Association. You'll see a red logo. Go into that red logo and join our group. Or you can go to MotownAlumniAssociation.com You get a chance see some of our historical things that we've done. Billy Wilson Entertainment Group.com. We promote artists on a global level there. And we promote on a global level. And we promote anybody on a global level. We put you on the same platform that Snoop Dogg and Beyonce is on. We put you on that level if your music is even if your music is just decent music, we still put you up there. We start you off on a major professional level.
Okay.
Great. That's awesome.
We are definitely going to have some acts coming your way. And I know that Elle has some acts he's working with. I've got a few acts myself that I'm working with. I've got a young guy that I'm getting a chance to learn his music a little bit. He's going to be coming on the show. This guy by the name of Ty Martin. So he's in the rap, but he's got some conscious, really conscious rap. But let's do this. TJ, did you have anything that you want to address and say to Billy?
Oh, yes, definitely. I had a couple of questions. I was wondering if you guys did any speaking seminars for young people, young entrepreneurs, expressing how to build themselves a business and the record business. And just on a local note, you said you were born in Ypsilanti, right?
Yeah.
There's a little restaurant in Ypsilanti. I used to work in juvenile corrections. Down there called Roy's Squeeze Inn. They make the best sandwiches in the world.
Are you kidding, man? You know that.
But getting back
joke.
To my first question, yeah. What'd you say, Al?
No, I was saying Roy's is the joint. That was a place to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real good. But that's, you know, I just threw that in for a little laugh. But, I'd like to know if you do seminars for young entrepreneurs trying to get into the business.
Time every day almost, yes. I do. All people have to do is call me. And we negotiate.
Oh, perfect.
When and where.
Perfect. All right. That
sounds good.
Thank you very much.
That sounds good. And we'll be linking up to Billy. And also, we want to have you back on. We've got a few minutes more left to actually conversate. Anything that Denise you want to say? Elle?
Yes, I'd like to say something.
Back on.
Hey, Billy,
yeah.
Let's talk about the Black Music Awards.
The Detroit Black Music Awards. That was created by Misty Love and myself. Misty is a diamond, platinum, gold record artist. She used to sing backup for Kid Rock. And she came to me and 15 years ago, she had this idea of being able to give flowers to local people that deserved it. They've been around for a while, and they paid their dues. So we started that 15 years ago, and we're still rolling today with the biggest. The only organization bigger than us is the Detroit Music Awards. But we're the most glamorous awards because you have to put on your after five attire and gowns and come to our event. But it's a fabulous, fabulous award show. We've awarded hundreds of people throughout the years.
I think the chat real, everybody should probably come and pay a visit to the award show. What do you think, Billy Tappan?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I totally
sounds
agree.
Good to me. You said the first Sunday in August. Am I correct?
First Sunday in August. We start promoting.
First Sunday in August.
First Sunday in August.
Oh,
okay.
That will be okay. Okay.
But we'll be talking with you anyway. Me and Al will be getting with you. I'd like to get that away to get a chance to see you because it's been some years. So, once again, let's shout out your information to the audience and so they know what to do and how
yeah.
to get in contact with you again.
I found
we got somebody at the door.
We got some bell.
Okay.
Yes. We do have
okay.
People in the studio.
Okay.
And
all right.
They can speak. Go ahead, Billy.
Okay. All right. Well, Billy, go ahead and shout out your information so the fans and people out there can write it down or whatever. Go ahead.
Well, you can contact me through my Facebook site. Just go to search and type in Motown Alumni Association. You'll see the red and white logo. And go there and join up, and then you can communicate with me just through there. Or you can call me at area code 734-972-7582. Or you can text me through there. It's probably best that you text me first. Or you can go to MotownAlumniAssociation.com.
Right.
Or go to BillyWilsonEntertainmentGroup.com. You can contact
okay.
me.
Yep. And everybody, I hope they got that.
Yes. And once again, you know, like I said, Billy, it's been a real pleasure having you on. I mean, there's so much more that we need to address and talk about. And I think we're going to bring you back on in probably about, oh, God, we're getting booked. But as soon as we find an opening, I would like to have you come back to even get into more of the industry. And I think that will work really well for everybody to be able to understand, you know, the industry the way it is today. And it hasn't changed too much. It's been about the same, I think. But we enjoyed every bit of your conversation. And
yeah,
I know that everybody here is very happy to have you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Hey, Billy Chat.
So is there any other words that you'd like to say to the audience and people around the world? Is there anything that you'd like to say?
Hey, before that, you might have a question for me, man.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Lady Love has a question for him.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Lady Love.
Hey, everybody. Hello, great Monday. Billy, I have a question for you. What is your, or what was your greatest achievement throughout the years working with so many artists and executives? Like, what was your accomplishment that you saw that was that you've achieved basically so far?
I had two, actually. I gave a $10 million research and a research grant to Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That was a wonderful achievement, wonderful event. The second one is my case with Eminem and Universal Records that I single-handedly helped Eminem to win that case because they originally lost the case in the lower courts. And when they done the appeals case, they came and got me, and I devised the right brief that won the case. They took that case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court looked at my brief, and they said, nope, send it back down to the appeals case court, and that judge made a decision which which landed Eminem and his people $69 million.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, at this point in time, in closing, thank you so much for that, Lady Love. Thanks a lot for that. But in closing, is there any last words, Billy, before we go to commercial break?
Yes.
Okay,
I started a program called Motown in the School, which is it takes a record company and put it inside a school system. And we build it out from there. So I'm inviting everybody to help participate in that. Just go to MotownInTheSchool.com, and you'll see what the program is all about. And you can call up and communicate on that.
Okay.
That's a good thing because they're trying to take arts out of school, Billy, and both Billys. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson and Kathy. You know, that's a big thing nowadays. When I was in school, I played sports, and I had friends in the band, and that was one of the things that really kept us motivated. Like, for me, it was sports, and for my friends, it was art, and it was music, and it was all those extracurriculars that we had back then. And I think it's a great thing that you're doing, and you should be commended, sir. Hats off to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And I would like to say that any of the listeners out there that maybe chimed in late, they can go to listen to the rerun. You go right to Caribbean Radio, the Knowledge Station, and Cat Reel with Billy and Friends, and you can pick this interview up. Matter of fact, you can go to any of the interviews that we've done on all our shows, check them out. So let's go ahead and vote the commercial break. TJ, go ahead with it.
You're listening to the Chat Reel on the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, Billy and Friends. This week's guest, Mr. Billy Wilson, founder of the Motown Alumni Association, Billy Wilson Entertainment Group, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you, guys.